Welcome to the Limiter IQ Fatigue Debt Playbook. Most athletes do not suddenly lose fitness late in a Hyrux-style race. They spend too much too early, then pay the bill later. This guide is about that bill, fatigue debt. This is not another list of random race tips. This is an audio guide about the invisible account you open the moment the race starts. Every surge, every sloppy station, every rush transition, every ego decision, and every panic rep either costs you now or gets charged you later. Most athletes only notice the bill when their pace falls apart near the end. By then, it feels like their fitness disappeared. It usually did not disappear. They spent it badly. In this playbook, we are going to look at fatigue as debt. Not pain. Not weakness. Debt. The goal is not to avoid fatigue. The goal is to stop paying interest on avoidable decisions. If you can understand where the debt comes from, you can race calmer, pay smarter, and protect the final third of your day. Use this audio with the same limiter IQ principle as every other guide. Find the limiter, then build the plan around it. Do not copy someone else's race. Build the race you can actually execute. Chapter 1. The Invisible Account. Every athlete understands tired. Fewer athletes understand debt. Tired is what you feel. Debt is what you owe. The difference matters because in a Hyrux-style race, the body does not charge every mistake immediately. A small overreach early can feel harmless. A few extra seconds fighting the sled can feel like determination. A rush transition can feel efficient. A set of wall balls taken too far can feel brave. None of those choices may break you in the moment. They simply move the cost forward. That is why so many athletes tell the same story after the race. The start felt controlled. The middle felt manageable. Then suddenly the run got heavy, the station slowed, and the final wall balls felt like a different event. They call it a blow-up. Limiter IQ calls it unpaid debt. Fatigue debt builds when the cost of a decision is higher than the benefit it gives you. If you gain 5 seconds by running too hot but lose 40 seconds because your next station starts under control debt, the early gain was fake. If you save 3 seconds by rushing a transition but your breathing never settles, the saving was fake. If you take a wall ball set past the point of control and then need 3 long breaks, the big set was fake. The key idea is simple. Race decisions need a return on investment. A decision is not good because it feels hard. A decision is good if it protects overall speed across the whole course. The athlete who understands fatigue debt does not chase every moment. They ask, "Will this cost me more later?" That question changes the race. It turns pacing from emotion into accounting. It turns transitions from chaos into control. It turns stations from battles into transactions. You are still working hard, but you are not spending energy just to look aggressive for 10 seconds. In this playbook, we will build a debt-aware race model. You will learn where the most expensive choices hide, why the first third of the race often writes the final third, and how to build rules that stop you from borrowing against a finish you still need to run. Chapter 2. The first 12 minutes are not free. The first 12 minutes of the race are dangerous because they feel cheap. You are fresh. The crowd is loud. The body has not yet sent the full bill. Your breathing feels under control, and the first run or early station may feel easier than expected. This is where many athletes accidentally negotiate with adrenaline and lose. The first mistake is not always starting fast. Sometimes the planned pace is fine. The real mistake is refusing to cap the cost. If your opening pace requires you to breathe like the race is already half over, you are not building a buffer. You are buying a later problem. The same is true if you attack the first station with strength you will need again and again. Early energy feels abundant because the race has not yet made you prove it under fatigue. Think of the opening as a credit limit. You can spend, but only inside a ceiling. A debt-aware athlete does not ask, "How fast can I go while fresh?" They ask, "What pace lets me arrive at the next decision still able to choose?" That phrase matters, still able to choose. When fatigue debt gets too high, choices disappear. You no longer choose your pace. You shuffle. You no longer choose your wall ball set. You negotiate with failure. You no longer choose transitions. You wander. A good opening is not slow. It is controlled. It has pressure without panic. The watch should not be the only judge. Ask three questions. Can I breathe through my nose for a few seconds if I need to? Can I speak a short phrase? Can I imagine doing this again after a station? If the answer is no, you may be spending more than you think. The most expensive opening decision is the one that feels impressive but reduces control. The race does not reward the athlete who looks best in the first kilometer. It rewards the athlete who can keep making clean decisions after fatigue starts adding interest. Your rule for the first 12 minutes is this: earn the right to race harder later. Do not borrow from the final stations just to feel athletic at the start. If you finish strong, no one cares that you were patient early. If you blow up, the early confidence becomes evidence against you. Chapter 3. Station spikes are interest payments. Stations do not only cost the time shown on the clock. They also change the price of the next run. That is the hidden debt most athletes miss. A station can look fast on paper but be expensive if it leaves the legs, lungs, or grip in a state that damages the next section. This is why station strategy cannot be separated from running strategy. The station is not over when you leave the box. It is over when you are back to useful rhythm. A station spike happens when effort rises above what the race can absorb. It can come from trying to muscle the sled, pulling too long without breathing, rushing farmers' carries with poor posture, or turning wall balls into a personal challenge. The spike might save a few seconds inside the station, but the interest shows up after. The first 30 to 90 seconds of the next run get ugly. Cadence drops. Shoulders stay high. Breathing fights you. Pace becomes expensive. The dead-aware athlete wants fewer spikes. Not less effort. Cleaner effort. The difference is big. Clean effort has a plan, a rhythm, and an exit. Spike effort has ego, panic, and no exit strategy. Before any station, ask, what is the cheapest way through this at the speed I can repeat? For the sled, that might mean shorter control drives instead of one heroic grind. For carries, it might mean posture and breathing before speed. For lunges, it might mean a rhythm that protects the run instead of chasing representatives too aggressively. For wall balls, it might mean plan sets before failure forces longer breaks. You are not trying to make stations easy. You are trying to make them affordable. The practical rule is this: leave every station with a runnable body. If the station plan creates a body that cannot run, the station was too expensive. That does not mean you never push. It means you push with an exit cost in mind. After each station, the first job is not speed. It is rhythm recovery. Eyes forward. Shoulders down. Short, quick steps. Breathe down before you try to force pace. If you can reduce the interest payment, the whole race gets faster without needing more fitness. Chapter 4. Compromised running is the receipt. Fresh running tells you what you can do. Compromised running tells you what the race can charge you. This is why many athletes are confused by race day. Their training paces looked fine. Their easy runs felt fine. Their intervals were solid. Then race day arrived, and the run after the stations felt nothing like running. The stride changed. The legs lost bounce. The lungs felt behind. The watch said the pace was slower, but the body said it was already working too hard. That is not always a fitness failure. It is the receipt for previous spending. Compromised running reveals what the stations did to you. If the sleds cost too much, the next run shows it. If wall balls pushed you past control, the next run shows it. If transitions were rushed and breath never settled, the next run shows it. This is why Limiter IQ treats compromised running as a diagnostic tool, not just a training type. During the race, do not judge the run only by pace. Judge it by recoverability. Can you get back to rhythm within the first minute? Can you lower the shoulders? Can you restore cadence? Can you stop fighting the floor? If not, the problem may be the previous station, not the current run. For training, include short compromised run exposures. They do not need to be dramatic. A simple sequence works: station effort, short run, station effort, short run, with a focus on rhythm recovery. The purpose is not to destroy yourself. The purpose is to learn the price of different station choices. If one station choice makes the next run feel impossible, note it. If a slightly calmer station choice makes the next run much better, keep it. That is how you learn your real race economy. The dead-aware rule for compromised running is this. The first minute after a station is a reset, not a panic test. Start with cadence and posture. Let breathing return under control. Then decide whether to lift pace. Many athletes lose more time trying to force the first minute than they would lose by resetting properly and running the remaining minutes with rhythm. Chapter 5. Wall balls are not the problem. Wall balls get blamed for a lot of races they did not ruin alone. Yes, wall balls are hard. Yes, they sit late. Yes, they expose squatting endurance, shoulder fatigue, breathing control, and discipline. But many wall ball failures begin long before the athlete picks up the ball. They begin with the debt that arrived there with them. If you reach wall balls carrying too much debt, even a good set plan can collapse. Legs are gone from earlier spikes. Breathing is high from poor transitions. Grip and shoulders are carrying tension. The mind is already negotiating. Suddenly, the wall balls feel like the problem, but they may only be the final debt collector. This matters because the fix is not always more wall balls. Sometimes it is better pacing. Sometimes it is cheaper sled execution. Sometimes it is transition control. Sometimes it is learning not to turn every earlier station into a fight. More wall balls will help only if wall ball capacity is truly the limiter. If the limiter is arriving there broke, you need a different plan. A dead-aware wall ball strategy has two parts. First, protect the arrival. Second, protect the set structure. Protect the arrival by deciding before the race how you want to enter the station. Do you need 10 seconds to breathe before picking up the ball? Do you need to shake the arms out? Do you need to set the feet and commit to the first set? These are not signs of weakness. They are ways to avoid starting the final station in panic. Protect the set structure by using planned sets and planned breaks. Failure breaks are expensive. Planned breaks are cheaper. A set that ends while you still control the ball is often faster than a bigger set that forces you to stare at the floor for too long. The rule is this. Wall balls punish the athlete who arrives with no plan and no budget. They reward the athlete who knows their main set, fallback set, and breathing cue. The goal is not to be heroic. The goal is to keep the ball moving more consistently than the athlete next to you who is paying interest on every earlier mistake. Chapter 6. Transitions hide the truth. Transitions are where athletes pretend they are saving time while often spending control. A transition can be fast and useful. It can also be frantic and expensive. The difference is whether you leave it more ready or less ready for the next demand. Many athletes lose time in transitions because they do not have a rule. They drift, look around, adjust gear, hesitate, or move quickly but without purpose. Others sprint into the next thing with breath too high and hands too tense. Both versions create debt. A good transition is not just movement between zones. It is a controlled reset. It should answer three questions. Where am I going? What do I need next? What state do I need to be in when I start? If the next task is running, the transition should help you find posture, cadence, and breathing. If the next task is a station, the transition should help you enter with the correct setup, not panic. If you are going into wall balls, for example, the transition is where you decide the first set. If you are going into a carry, the transition is where you decide hand position and posture. If you are going into a sled, the transition is where you commit to technique rather than emotion. The biggest transition mistake is thinking every second has the same value. It does not. A 5-second reset that prevents a 30-second breakdown is a good investment. A 5-second rush that leads to a bad station start is bad debt. Create a transition rule before the race. It can be simple. Move with purpose, breathe down, set the next cue, then start. Do not wander. Do not sprint blind. Do not negotiate. Just move through the same sequence every time. A strong transition looks calm from the outside because it is decided in advance. The athlete is not searching for the next action. They already know it. That calm is not softness. It is speed without waste. Chapter 7. The Limiter Stack. Most athletes want one limiter. The race usually gives them a stack. A limiter stack is the chain of problems that turns one weakness into several visible failures. For example, an athlete may think their limiter is wall balls. But the real stack might be pacing too hot, sled spike, compromised run collapse, then wall ball breakdown. In that case, wall balls are where the problem is visible, not where it started. Another athlete may think running is the limiter. But the stack might be poor station breathing, rush transitions, and no reset strategy. The running gets blamed because it occupies the most time, but the cause is distributed across the race. This is why copying someone else's fix is risky. If your friend improves by adding more wall balls, that does not prove wall balls are your issue. If another athlete improves by running more, that does not prove running volume is your answer. The right fix depends on your stack. To find the stack, ask three questions after training or racing. Where did control first drop? What did that make harder next? Where did the biggest time loss actually show up? The first answer and the third answer are often different. The first tells you the source. The third tells you the visible cost. Limiter IQ thinking is built around this separation. Pain is not always the limiter. The loudest station is not always the source. The slowest split is not always the root. You need to trace the debt back to where it began. For your next race, write a simple limiter stack. Start with your likely source. Then write what it damages. Then write the final visible failure. For example, overpacing damages compromised running, which damages wall balls. Or sled technique spikes heart rate, which damages the next run, which damages transitions. This turns vague anxiety into a plan. The rule is this: do not train only the place where you suffer. Train the decision that makes you suffer there. Chapter 8. Red Zone Rules. The red zone is not a place. It is a decision state. You enter the red zone when effort becomes expensive, thinking narrows, and every choice wants to become emotional. The goal is not to avoid the red zone forever. In racing, you will have to go there. The goal is to avoid entering it early for no reason, and to have rules for when you do. A red zone rule is a pre-decided action you use when the body gets loud. It removes negotiation. Without rules, you might panic, chase someone, break your plan, or stop moving because the next decision feels too big. With rules, you follow the sequence. Examples are simple. If breathing spikes after a station, take 30 seconds of cadence first running before checking pace. If a wall ball set breaks early, switch to the fallback set immediately, not after three failed attempts. If a transition feels chaotic, use the same three-step reset. Move, breathe, cue. If the sled starts to turn into a grind, shorten the drive and protect technique before forcing speed. Red zone rules are not excuses to go easy. They are ways to stay effective when the emotional brain wants control. They preserve speed by removing drama. You need three rules before race day. One for running. One for stations. One for wall balls or your most likely limiter. Keep them short enough to remember under fatigue. Running rule: cadence first, pace second. Station rule: clean effort, cheap exit. Wall ball rule: plan sets beat failure breaks. Those may not be your exact rules, but they show the structure. They are short, actionable, and connected to debt control. The athlete with red zone rules has an advantage late in the race. Not because it hurts less, but because they do not waste time deciding what pain means. They already know the next move. That is how you race through fatigue without letting fatigue own the race. Chapter 9. Training to spend less. Training for fatigue debt is not about making every session brutal. That is a common mistake. Athletes hear the word fatigue and think the answer is more suffering. But the goal is not to become good at being destroyed. The goal is to reduce the cost of the same race demands. You train to spend less for each pace, each station, each transition, and each reset. There are four types of sessions that help. First, control runs. These teach pace discipline. The point is not maximum speed. The point is feeling the difference between a pace you can repeat and a pace that borrows from later. Second, compromised rhythm sessions. These pair station work with short runs, but the target is not collapse. The target is fast recovery of posture, cadence, and breathing. If every compromised session turns into a death march, you are not learning control. You are rehearsing debt. Third, station economy work. This is where you practice cheaper technique. Sleds, carries, lunges, and wall balls should have rhythm and exit plans. Efficiency is not softness. It is lower cost per unit. Fourth, red zone rehearsals. These are controlled exposures where you practice your rules under pressure. You might finish a session with planned wall ball sets after running. Or you might practice transitions when breathing is high. The point is not to prove toughness. It is to prove your plan still exists when tired. The training question is not simply, can I do more? It is, can I make the same demand cheaper? Can I run the same pace with lower panic? Can I get through the station with less bike? Can I enter the next run with rhythm sooner? Can I reach wall balls with more control left? This is how athletes improve without just adding random volume. They stop paying unnecessary interest. Fitness still matters. But fitness used badly leaks. Fitness used with rules compounds. Chapter 10. Race Day Debt Plan. A debt-aware race plan should fit on one page. If the plan is too complicated, you will not use it. Under fatigue, you need rules, not essays. Build your plan around 5 lines. Line 1. Opening ceiling. This is the pace or effort you will not exceed early, even if you feel great. Line 2. Station exit rule. This defines what state you want when leaving each station. For example, runnable body, shoulders down, breath controlled within 30 seconds. Line 3. Compromised running cue. This is the first thing you do after a station. For example, short steps, cadence first, pace after the first minute. Line 4. Limit a fallback. This is your plan for the part most likely to break. If wall balls are risky, write the fallback set. If sleds are risky, write the technique cue. If transitions are risky, write the reset rule. Line 5. Final third permission. This is when you are allowed to spend more aggressively. You do not want to finish with unused capacity, but you also do not want to spend the final third in the first third. Decide what signal allows you to push. It might be reaching a certain point with breathing under control, or it might be after a specific station. Here is an example. Opening ceiling, controlled, no ego, no chasing early. Station exit, leave with a runnable body. Compromised run, cadence first, pace second. Limit a fallback, wall balls and plan sets, no failure breaks. Final third, spend if posture and breathing are still under control. That is enough. It is not magic. It is a guardrail system. It gives you a way to race hard without gambling the whole event on early emotion. Before your next race, write your debt plan. Put it in your phone. Read it before warm up. Then race from the plan, not from adrenaline. Closing, race with less debt. The best athletes are not always the ones who suffer the most. Often, they are the ones who spend the least for the same result. That is the point of the Limiter IQ Fatigue Debt Playbook. You are not trying to avoid hard work. You are trying to stop small decisions from becoming expensive late race problems. Start with control. Protect the next run. Leave stations with a runnable body. Use red zone rules. Trace your limiter stack back to the source. Then spend more when the race has actually earned it. If you want to use this properly, do 3 things. First, write your one-page fatigue debt plan. Opening ceiling, station exit, compromised run cue, limiter fallback, final third permission. Second, test that plan in training. Do not just train harder. Train the cost of your decisions. Quick note before we finish. This is a free unofficial Limiter IQ guide for athletes preparing for HYROX style racing and functional fitness racing. It is not an official HYROX product and is not endorsed, approved, certified, sponsored by, or affiliated with HYROX or HYROX World GmbH. Always check the current official rulebook for your event, division, and location. Third, take the free Limiter IQ assessment and find the limiter most likely to cost you time before race day. You can find the free Limiter IQ First Race Playbook, audiobook, and assessment links at limiteric.com. Use the guide, build the plan, and stop paying interest on avoidable mistakes. Race hard. Spend wisely. Finish with control.